Hello and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, and our special guest today, Ohio Army National Guard Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan. Mostly sunny skies today, high right around 90. Clear tonight, low near 67. And for Saturday, sunny with a high near 90 as well. Hey, just want to give a quick update. There is still a large contingent of law enforcement on the scene in the 600 block of West Church Street in Newark by the YMCA. That's following an officer-involved shooting. One person was transported to Mount Carmel East. No officers that we've been able to tell have been injured in that shooting. They remain on the scene. It happened around 7:15 this morning. So if you are seeing police officers in the area right near the YMCA in the 600 block of West Church Street, that was due to a shooting earlier involving an officer, a traffic stop. And we'll have more information as we kind of monitor what's going on there. I'm sure Newark Police will get us some more information throughout the morning. But again, Sergeant Jeremiah Hogan, Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan, the Ohio Army National Guard. Now, Joel, you weren't in here when the good sergeant came in.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, talking about Ohio, and he goes, you know, I'm a Michigan fan.
Oh.
And I was
oh.
Now, that... Don't use that as your opening line when you're recruiting somebody.
Usually not if you're in the Buckeye State.
I don't think I would start with, hey, come join us. We're Michigan Wolverine fans. Sergeant, what are you doing?
It's a good icebreaker. It's a good icebreaker. You find out real quick how diehard they are or not.
That is, I guess that's pretty.
That's
pretty
true.
Good way to put it. First off, thank you for your service. You have been in. You were active duty military. Now you've been in the Army National Guard. You said what? 22 years?
I've been in for a total of 23 years.
Yeah.
So I've been in the Guard since December 14. So about a little over 10 years, or coming up on 10 years.
Something you always knew you wanted to do.
Actually, when I joined the military, I was needing a job. I was working at Delphi out in Columbus, and I was just needing a job. They're shutting down the plant and everything like that. And it was just one of those. I'm like, hey, I need a job. Let me go look at the Army. I went down and talked to the Army recruiter when they were still up there off of DO Drive and everything. The big thing with that, though, is I did not even know the National Guard was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm doing programs like this and everything. But I didn't even know what the National Guard was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why I'm like, hey, I'm going to go talk to the Army guy. And went and enlisted. That was back in 2003 when I actually enlisted and just went off the training and everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you've seen active duty service. I mean, you said jumping out of planes and stuff, correct? I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I was down in the 82nd Airborne for 6 years. Jumped out of airplanes. I'm a medic by trade. So I was actually a medic with the 1st Brigade down there. And then went up to Pennsylvania for a couple years, worked at the War College up there at the clinic there. And then I went down to 3rd ID down to Fort Stewart for a little bit before transitioning from active duty right into the National Guard and coming back to Ohio.
So walk me through the training part of jumping out of a plane to actually jumping out of a plane. What's the highest level that you jump out of before you actually jump from the plane?
So it's all ground training. Your first 2 weeks are ground training. I mean, your first week is just learning how to fall correctly. It's called a parachute landing fall. It never happens that way. But it's called a parachute landing fall. That's your first week. Your second week is you're learning more of pulling your slips and everything like that. And then the third week is your jump week. You have 5 jumps and you're certified.
So in 2 weeks, you go from never having jumped out of a plane to jumping out of a plane.
Correct.
At what height do you jump the first time?
800 feet.
800. So 800 feet is basically enough time for you to get out, your chute to open, and you hit the ground.
Right. You jump out. You got about 5 seconds. Your chute automatically deploys. So you're hooked to what's called a static line. It's not free fall like your regular skydiving. So you jump out of the airplane and your chute opens and then float down to the ground.
The first time you did it seem like you were way too high or did it seem like you were way too low?
I was so scared. I don't remember. We have to do your first 3 jumps are day jumps. Your second or your 4th jump is a night jump where you're jumping at night, and then your 5th jump is a day jump. And kind of the running joke is every jump is a night jump because your eyes are closed.
So. I know they would be. Eyes would be closed, mouth would be open,
and
screaming.
And there's going to have to be some shoving involved for me to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. I mean,
well, Air Force is flying it, so you, I mean, kind of some motivation there sometimes.
A little smack talk.
I knew I liked this guy. I knew I did. Do you miss it?
I miss the camaraderie and everything like that. the camaraderie, the esprit de corps, the friendships you build. I mean, I've got guys I deployed with that I still talk to. We did actually, we lost a medic back in 2005. They do an annual thing in St. Louis every year. And I went this year, met up with them, everything like that. So it's, I still have communications, talk all those guys. But that's the big thing with the military. It's just one huge family. I have those guys that I talked to when I was active duty. And now here with the National Guard, I got family essentially here. I mean, if I need anything, I got people I know that I've worked with already or still work with that if I need anything, it's phone call away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the big thing that I missed with that.
How much did you know about the National Guard, though, when you were in the actual, in the Army? I mean, was it something that somebody came to you and said, hey, you might want to look into this? Is it something that you looked at? How'd you find out?
So all I really knew about National Guard when I was active duty was, oh, they're weekend warriors and they're nasty guards, what they do, should say, stuff like that. But I didn't really understand what they fully did. As part of the transition when you're getting out of active duties, you have to go talk to what's called a reserve component recruiter or a career counselor. And they talk reserve or National Guard. And I was just like, well, I want to go back to Ohio. I'm like, I don't want to do it. And then I got talking to him. And he's like, hey, you continue your benefits. You can continue your retirement and all that. I'm like, you know, it's actually, let me go give it a shot, right? So then he kind of explained the National Guard a little bit more. And I did all the paperwork there while I was still active duty. So when I got out of active duty and I came over to National Guard, there was no break in service. December, I think it was like December 14th or something like that. My last day of active duty, December 15th, I was in the National Guard. And then came up to Ohio in January. I reported to my unit for my first drill and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit of a culture shock, understanding 1 week in a month versus people doing it full time. So a couple months kind of transition and understand everything like that. But it's amazing how much the National Guard can complete in a weekend for a drill weekend that some active duty units do for take a month to kind of complete. So they do a lot more than people think.
All right, so take us through this. If you're talking to Dave Doney and I show an interest, what are some of the things that you're telling them about the Guard that maybe they didn't know about that can benefit them if they join the Guard?
One of the big things is you're serving the country, right? But you're also helping out in the state. So whether it's natural disasters or the floods, the hurricanes, stuff like that, I mean, that's what we're primarily doing. But the big thing is you're still staying here in Ohio. You're going to be working with a unit here in Ohio with one of our jobs. But if you want to go to college, hey, you go to college full time. If you want to have a job, go have a job. That's the great thing is you're a citizen soldier. So 28 days out of the month, you're a citizen, a regular normal person. And then 2 days out of the month, you're in uniform doing your job with the National Guard.
You can get to, again, I know you have nothing to do with what's going on in D.C., but those are things that can happen, correct? You can, at a moment's notice, be prepared?
Yeah, you can get activated for state active duty. I mean, COVID's a perfect example. I mean, that was a big need for people. So COVID was a phone call in 24, 48, 72 hours or whatever. People were going out and helping out and everything like that. So there is that. There are deployments. There are activations and stuff like that. Some of them are long-term planned. They're planned out. Some of them are last minute also. It just kind of depends. I mean, we can't predict the future either.
Where do you get those orders from? I mean, being that you're the Ohio National Guard, does that come from the governor? Does that come from the highest ranking military person in the state? Where does it come from?
So because we're National Guard, we're actually state and federally. So we can either get activated by Department of Defense and the president, or we can get activated by the governor. It just kind of depends if it's a state active duty mission or if it's a federal mission.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So. All right. So let's talk a little bit about some of the benefits of being in. When you're talking about college, because you mentioned, you know, like I was looking for a job and do these things. But I think sometimes folks may not see it as, oh, it's the High Army National Guard. I don't get the kind of benefits if I joined, you know, the Army, Navy, all those. But you do.
You get all the same benefits.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit different benefits as far as if you're active duty with one of the branches versus guard, but reserve benefits, all the reserves benefits, you're getting that $4,500 a year from your federal tuition assistance. You're getting that with the guard also. But on top of that, with the Ohio National Guard, we also have our scholarship. Our scholarship is a state law. It's part of the Ohio Revised Code, and that covers 100% tuition to any state-funded college in Ohio. So if you want to go to Ohio State, COTC, Columbus State, University of Akron, University of Cincinnati, we cover that tuition 100%. And then on top of that, the federal benefits you're getting are your $4,500 from your federal tuition assistance. But then also you're getting what's called a Chapter 1606 GI Bill. So you're getting money while you're going to college also. So
on top of that.
Mm-hmm. So every month you're enrolling to college full time, you're getting approximately $500 a month tax free.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to sign for so long? Is it, you know, if somebody, and again, I don't know what the terms are. Is it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years? I mean, does that kick in for everybody like that? Or is there a certain amount of time you have to sign in for?
So for the 100%, you have to do a 6-year agreement. It's called a 6x2 because it's 6 years drilling in the National Guard where you're doing the 39 days a year. And then the 2 years, you're what's called an inactive ready reserve where you're pretty much on a standby where if stuff goes sideways, they can call you back. In my military career, I've only seen a couple people called back, but that's an inactive ready reserve. You'll get something in the mail. Hey, come check with us and make sure your address is good. Mm-hmm. But that's a 2 years inactive ready reserve. But the other 6 years, you're doing just that 39 days a year, which is the 1 week in a month. And then your 2 weeks normally during your summer doing your actual job.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of physical requirement? I mean, you have to be able to...
You can't be old and fat like you and I.
I don't want to go with that quite that way. But I mean, you know, when you think about the military, you think about, you know, 2-minute showers cold. You got a, you know, rucksack and 10-mile hikes and no water and all that kind of stuff.
So as far as for enlistment, there is a medical process you have to go through. You have to go through the military entrance processing station or MEPS. There is a medical screening you have to do. It's kind of like a sports physical. Got to make sure everything moves and everything like that. You don't have like some... medical issues that could be a potential issue later on or hazard or something like that. But once you get cleared medically, then you go through basic training, which is 10 weeks, and they get you ready physically at that point in time. That's just, if you think of it kind of like sports related wise, if coach isn't going to just take you and throw you right on the field and say, here, go play, mm-hmm. right? They're going to train you up and practice and prep and everything. That's what basic training is doing also. So yes, you're going to have your PT test that you have to do every year. You're going to have like a ruck march, depending upon your unit. You might be doing ruck marches and stuff like that. It just kind of depends on your job also. Mm-hmm. But the big thing with that too is, they're going to get you ready for that. And that's one thing with the National Guard that we have a great benefit is we have what's called a recruit sustainment program. So all of our companies have what's called a recruit sustainment program. So if we enlist a high school kid, like if I have a high school kid enlisting right now, they're not graduating high school or going to end of the school year until next year, right? So from now until they get done with their school year, they're going to drill with us 1 week in a month.
Hmm.
They're going to get paid for that weekend, for that Saturday and Sunday, a couple $100s, and we're going to get them ready for basic training. We're essentially giving them the answers to the test before they even go to basic training. So they're going to how to talk to a non-commissioned officer. They're going to learn how to go and tear apart the weapon systems. They're going to learn medical, land navigation, all those different things, and they're getting paid for it. And the plus side is that's time off their contract. So if you enlist as a junior, it's a 6-year contract, right? You enlist as a junior, you knock out your junior year, go to basic training over the summer, do your senior year of high school, go to your job score, AIT, come back. That's almost 2 years gone of that 6-year contract. How long is a bachelor's degree?
Mm-hmm.
4 years. By the time you get done with your bachelor's degree, your contract with the military is up.
Mm-hmm. Real quick before we take a break, how tough is basic training? Because I got to believe that's questions you get from not only the recruits, but maybe their parents.
It's not really that tough. It's more mental than anything. It's what it is. You got to figure you have people from all over the country showing up, actually from all over the world, showing up that some people have just got off their couch because you're going to basic training with active duty reserve and National Guard. It's all combined. It's all the same training bases, but it's mental. If you think when you first started like school, like these kids are starting CTEC this year, they're the juniors. It's that awkward phase, right? Those first couple weeks are the awkward phase. Yes, they're going to yell at you. Okay. But it's really not that bad. You have to go to sleep at night. It's going to be the next day, right? And you're one day closer to graduation. It's primarily mental. It's just kind of breaking you down to get you to start working and thinking as a team and looking out for your battle buddy to your left and right.
Yeah. I'm not sure that Joel and I are up for that. Is there age requirement? I mean, what is the age requirement?
17 with parental consent, junior in high school, all the way up to we can do 41, 42 mm-hmm. If they're in good shape.
Yeah. We're well past that, aren't
well
we, Riley?
Past.
We don't have to
on
worry
both
about that.
Counts.
Good shape and age. I won't argue that at
Round
all.
Round is a shape, but it's not a good shape.
Not for that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today, Sergeant First Class Jeremiah Hogan with the Ohio Army National Guard. Mostly sunny skies throughout the day, high near 89. Clear tonight, low near 67. And for Saturday, sunny with a high near 90. And again, just want to remind folks, you're going to see a large police presence over in the 600 block of West Church Street in Newark, right by the YMCA. There was an officer-involved shooting this morning following a traffic stop. No officers that we have been able to tell were injured. One person, however, was transported to Mount Carmel East. The Ohio BCI, Bureau of Criminal Investigations, is assisting with that investigation. So you're going to want to avoid that area as best you can. You will see quite a bit of law enforcement in the area. Now, Sergeant First Class Hogan, go back real quick. We were talking about the scholarship program, and you said there's something new this year for folks who maybe aren't doing the traditional college and university that you guys can help out with.
Yes, actually, the law got changed, got updated last year, that we now cover trade schools. So it's not only one of those, hey, I want to go to college and I got my scholarship. This is also an option to go to like C-Tech Adult Ed Program, Mideast, down in Zanesville, if you want to go Buffalo Career or Buckeye Career Center, which is not like New Philly, any of those adult ed programs. We actually cover those now also. So if you're like, well, hey, I want to go continue. I'm graduating from C-Tech. I want to continue my degree. I want to continue my training. So you, Columbus State doesn't offer it. COTC doesn't offer it. I want to go through this specific training. We actually cover that with our scholarship now also. Very good. There's that money you can get while you're actually attending it too. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're doing apprenticeships. So like the Electricians Union, it's huge right now. I mean, they're all out there in Aetna area and everything like that. That's booming. There's actually with the VA, with the GI Bill stuff, there's actually additional money you can get while you're doing apprenticeships to help offset what you're not making as a journeyman.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little bit, because I was blown away. I want to say, how many different jobs are out there for folks in the Ohio National Guard?
We've got about 150 different jobs. One of the big differences between the National Guard and the reserve is the service and support for active duty. They just have support jobs, right? The Ohio Army National Guard, we have combat jobs also. And the great thing with that is we're standalone entities. So if we have a unit that's going to be deploying, it's going to be a standalone. It's going to be that unit's kind of deploying. But we have all those combat jobs also. So if you're wanting like infantry or combat engineer or mortarman, all those types of combat jobs, even M1 Abrams tank drivers, we have those here in Ohio, which they don't have with the reserve side. But that's the great thing about why we have 150 different types mm-hmm. of jobs here in Ohio.
So how does that work? I mean, do you kind of try to see somebody and go, okay, we're going to put you here? Can somebody come in and say, hey, this Abrams tank thing, I want to be part of that? I mean, how does that work? How do you kind of find these folks to where they need to be?
So they have to take the ASVAB test.
Okay.
So once they take the ASVAB test, then the scores from that test dictate what jobs they're eligible for. So you get an overall AFQT score.
What does that stand for?
It's the Armed Forces qualitative test or something like that.
See, that I threw you on the spot. He did pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Great.
That's the overall score, like the quantitative of like all the scores combined. It gives you an overall score, which we need a 31 as a minimum. 99 is your highest. What that says is if you get a 50, that means you scored approximately 50% higher than everybody else in the same demographic as you. So you go and take that test. From there, we get actual what's called line scores. And then we take those line scores, and that tells us what jobs you're qualified for. From there, we go and say, all right, hey, here's the jobs we have available within a certain radius of where you live. I'm not going to go and send somebody that's going to be going to Ohio State in Columbus or going to Ohio State here in Newark and say, hey, you're going to have to drive to Toledo for your drill weekends. Now, I'm going to find them a unit around here.
How many units?
We got approximately 76 different units here in Ohio. But I'm going to find them a unit with an hour, hour and a half where we live, right? So that way, they're not spending all their dro money on gas, but to say, hey, here's the jobs you're qualified for. And then you choose from that list. You give me your top three. Hey, this is the three jobs I want. And then the great thing with that is we already know, hey, here's your score. Here's the jobs you're qualified for. Now let's go get you qualified medically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just... And that's on the recruiter side of it. We make sure, hey, this is the job they want. This is the unit they want, and everything like that.
Yeah. How do you support the families?
A lot.
Because I got to believe, I mean, you're asking a lot of the families, too, especially when you're saying to them, hey, we're taking your son, your daughter, whoever, for a weekend. Could be even longer. I mean, what do you do to help support families?
So we have what's called a family readiness group. We have that. Plus, we have some civilians that actually help out with that, too, throughout the state. The big thing is the military is just a big family anyways. I know me as a recruiter, when I'm going and doing meetings with, if they're high school kids, I'm meeting with their parents also. If I'm meeting kids that are out of high school, I'm still offering, hey, bring your parents in, bring your siblings in, bring your girlfriend, bring your boyfriend, your wife, husband, or whatever, bring them with you so they can answer all the questions they have to make sure they have a comfortable understanding of what it is also, instead of saying, hey, my son went and talked to some army guy and now he's gone and I don't know when he's coming back, right? So we have that. Plus, they are supportive of the families. If a service member gets activated, deployed, they do have what's called a family readiness group, which reach out to the family. They do family events and stuff like that also, usually a couple times a year, too. So they are really big into the family. I mean, like if you have a service member who gets pregnant, they get that maternity leave. Or if you're a father and your wife is having a kid, and once she delivers, you still get that paternal leave also. So, I mean, we still have all those things to help out with families.
You see more women get involved?
Actually, yeah. We've actually had a spike in female enlistments lately. Mm-hmm. For me, personally, I've actually enlisted more females than I have males in the last year and a half.
What do you think is the threat for that? Just wanting to give back? And
I think it's just kind of their I think they have a little bit more drive and ambition, honestly, some of it. But I think, too, is they're kind of understanding, hey, that it's the military is a very good option. They're not coming in as combat engineers or infantrymen and stuff like that. They might be doing more of a support job. But I think they're all, a majority of the people I'm talking to are looking at, hey, this is an option for me to go to college, or this is an option for me to go and set myself up for success. You don't have to go to college, but you might learn a job skill with us that's helping you set you up for success, like our truck drivers. It's a basic training, 10 weeks, the AIT for that. The job school is like 8 weeks long. You come back, you're going to unit, and then you're learning how to drive semis. And that's something you can use to go get your CDL. We've got people that are doing it just for that aspect of it, whether it's male or females. I think the biggest thing as far as for the females, I think they just, their drive and, hey, how am I going to set myself up and look further down?
Mm-hmm.
Males, my experience, they're not really looking as far into the future and planning ahead.
Oh, you mean guys aren't doing that, huh?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, what's the toughest thing then to sit when you're across from a family? Is it the parents?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. I've had some where it's the parents are like looking at the kid like, hey, this is something you need to do. You need to go get out of Ohio. You need to go to training. You need to learn some discipline, learn some skills, and come back. I've had that. And then I've had some where the parents are reluctant, because they don't have an understanding. Usually, it's the majority of the time, if I get some type of resistance from that, or the parents are kind of reluctant or whatever, it's because they don't have an understanding of the National Guard, of what we actually do and what we're giving back to the community and what we're going to go and offer their son or their daughter when they enlist in the Guard.
Now, you said you're going to be moving to the OSU New York COTC campus, right?
Correct.
Do you know when and where you'll be, if folks want to talk to you, or how that's going to work?
Hopefully within the next week, I'll actually have my actual office set up. I don't know the name of the building, honestly, but I'm going to be right there by the registrar's office, right down the hall from the registrar's office and everything like that. So I will be up there Monday. They do an ROTC program. So they actually have an ROTC, first-year ROTC program there at OSU Newark. I'll be assisting in that. And then if I'm not in some of my other schools, I will be in my office there at COTC in OSU Newark.
If folks want more information, what they got to do?
They can either stop by my office. They go to nationalguard.com, or they can give me a call or shoot me a text at 740-602-0577. My office right now is up off of West Main Street. We are not the recruiters that they're off of 79. Our office is not located there. Our office is located at 1257 Holler Lane. Okay. It's a National Guard Armory right there over by the hospital. But my hopefully within the next week, my office will be moving up there to OSU, Newark, and COTC. And if they're like, hey, I can't make it there, give me a call. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. If you Google Jeremiah SFC Hogan on Facebook, on Instagram, I'm on all those social medias. Also, you can find me there too. Or if you're like, well, hey, I don't know, just go to nationalguard.com, find a recruiter, put in your zip code. So if you're listening, you're not in like Licking County area, if you're, let's say, on the other side of the state, or if you're in another state or whatever, just go to nationalguard.com, find a recruiter, put in your zip code, and it'll pull up the local recruiter's information for you.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Well, again, I appreciate you coming in. Other than that Michigan thing, you seem like a seems like a pretty decent guy. I mean, he was honest. He closed his eyes when he jumped. So he seems like a pretty good guy.
Agreed. I mean, my wife, I mean, deals with being a Michigan fan, so it can't be that bad.
That's right. Yeah, that is true. I mean, she stays with you, so I guess we can cut you some slack. Well, again, Sergeant First Class Hogan, thank you so much. Maybe we can do this on a regular basis just to keep folks involved what's going on with the Ohio Army National Guard. I've got a dear friend of mine, his son is in it, and he got deployed and come back. He's now an officer over at Ohio State. He kind of patrols the medical centers and things like that, and he said it was the best thing he could have done. To your point, it just he needed that kind of discipline and kind of put his life into perspective, and now he's in, and he doesn't say he's coming out anytime soon. So I shouldn't say it works. It's there for those folks who need that, and that makes it great.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is juniors. They starting in October, we should be able to start enlisting juniors. But the biggest thing is most people don't start planning for retirement until they're about 25. We have a blended retirement system. You're already paying into a 401k system. At 17 years old, you're paying into a 401k system. So you do your 6 years, get that out, throw that in, just let it set until you're 65 and have a nice little nest egg there. Mm-hmm. Instead of most people don't start planning until they're 20, 25 before they even really find their job, right? Instead of go to the Guard, go to college, graduate, and then have an idea, this is what I want to do with my life at 22, 23 years old versus those kids that are jumping job to job to job until they're in their mid-30s.
Great to look into it. Get a hold of Sergeant Hogan. Let him give you the information. Or like he said, just go online, National Guard, and pull up the information you need there. Be sure to join us on Monday. We'll be joined by Deb Dingus, Executive Director of the United Way of Licking County. That'll be on Monday's Talk of the Town. We'll get you back to the music next with Faith Hill on Buckeye Country 107.7.